Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Welcome to our Hanukkah celebration. As you can see, we have funny things hanging from the ceiling, and you'll figure out in a little while, if you don't know what those are, excuse me, I hope I don't fall over, what they are. And we have the Hanukkiahs here, and we'll be talking about that. But one of the questions we want to answer is, why did Jesus care about this feast? Would you take the Bible that either you brought or the Bible that's in front of you and turn to John chapter 10 as we look at some scriptures about Jesus celebrating Hanukkah? If you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 950. How tacky is that I'm telling you? Here's the page, turn there. Okay, we're going to start reading in verse 22. Are you all there? I can still hear pages turning. It says this: Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Feast of dedication is Hanukkah. That's what Hanukkah means. It tells us for sure it's Hanukkah because it was in the winter. There is not another Jewish festival that ever comes in the wintertime except for Hanukkah. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, which tells us he was there to celebrate this event, because this event has everything to do with the temple and Jerusalem. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are in the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, why is it that the Jews asked Jesus? No other time do we see in Scripture that they clearly said to him, "Are you the Christ?" than at the season of Hanukkah. Why was that? It's because this was the celebration of deliverance. This is when they saw a delivering sort of Messiah in the form of the Maccabees rise up against their enemy and deliver them, and not only deliver their temple, but deliver them as a nation for a period of time. What they were looking for was not a savior that was going to redeem them from their sins. They were looking for, really, what Jesus will do on his second coming, and that's redeem them as a nation. That's what they were asking him. Have you come to redeem us? Have you come to set us free from the Romans? Jesus answered them and said, "You know what? You really should know by the works that I do." He didn't answer any of their political concerns. He just said, "My works speak for themselves." Jesus was in Jerusalem on Hanukkah. He would not have been there to celebrate this feast if the reason for celebrating it wasn't true. If the miracle of the oil wasn't true, are you pretty sure that Jesus wouldn't have been there? But the fact that he was there tells us that the reason that they celebrated and how they celebrated, he approved of. So that really gives great credence to this holiday. Here's something very interesting. The Jews celebrated Hanukkah because they celebrated the victory over their enemy, the Assyrians, who had oppressed them. This struggle took place for 25 years. From the beginning of the struggle to the time that they rededicated the temple and were a free people, it was 25 years. That's a long struggle. We've been in Iraq a little over 9 years, and as a nation and as a people, we're pretty much over it. We're saying our soldiers are coming home, and we're happy. It's been long enough. What's Jesus saying to us about this? He's saying to us that many times that your struggle against the enemy is longer than you wanted it to be. The battle that you're fighting goes on many times, much longer than you expected it. But what it teaches us, that in the end, it is true that Christ has triumphed over all evil. And what he's saying to us is Hanukkah is a picture of us to endure. We cannot get weary in resisting the enemy, because the day is coming when we will triumph through Christ over him. And that's really what this is about. So let's begin our celebration tonight before all of these incredible young people come and present to you the pieces of Hanukkah. Let's watch this video so that we'll all understand what this celebration is really about.
Every winter, Jewish families gather to light a branched candelabra called a menorah. For 8 nights, they celebrate their families and celebrate their faith. The holiday is called Hanukkah, also known as the Festival of Lights. When we think of Hanukkah, we think of the menorah. Its 8 flames burn in testament to a glorious victory that took place over 2,000 years ago. Around 200 BC, the Jewish people in Jerusalem were living under Egyptian rule, though they remained largely free to work and worship in accordance with their customs. Then, in 175 BC, Antiochus IV Epiphanes ascended to the Syrian throne, invaded Egypt, and desecrated Jerusalem. In an attempt to assimilate the Judean people, Antiochus forced them to worship Greek gods and outlawed Judaism, banning all Jewish rituals upon threat of death. The ultimate insult came in 168 BC, when Antiochus seized the Jewish holy temple in Jerusalem and dedicated it to the worship of Greek god Zeus. For a Jewish high priest named Mattathias, it was time to take a stand. Together with his 5 sons, Mattathias sparked a revolt, pitting the desperate Jewish faithful against vastly superior Syrian armies. The battle raged for 3 years. Against improbable odds, the Jewish uprising, led by Mattathias' son, Judah Maccabee, emerged victorious. Judah Maccabee and his small army of soldiers recaptured Jerusalem in 165 BC and liberated the Holy Temple. According to the Talmud, the Jewish high priests eagerly prepared to light the ceremonial menorah, the eternal flame which would rededicate the desecrated temple to the glory of God. But they found that the Syrians had defiled all but a small flask of oil. It was enough to light the menorah, but for a single night. Hours turned to days, and miraculously, the menorah burned on until 8 nights had passed and more oil could be produced. It was time for Hanukkah, Hebrew for dedication. Against all odds, the menorah had not been extinguished, and so the flames of the branched menorah are a potent symbol of the Jews' indomitable faith. The menorah holds 9 candles, with the center candle used to light 1 candle on each of the 8 nights of Hanukkah. During Hanukkah, children play a game with a dreidel, a 4-sided spinning top with a Hebrew character on each of its faces. It is thought that the dreidel began during the reign of King Antiochus, when Jews secretly gathered to study the Torah. If soldiers arrived, the Jews could pretend to be gambling. Jewish adults also give small sums of money, or gelt, to children during the holiday. And though not traditionally a holiday for gifts, Hanukkah's proximity to Christmas on the calendar has made it customary to exchange gifts on 1 or all of the 8 nights. For Jews around the world, Hanukkah is a time to reflect on the strength and spiritual resolve of the Jewish people. It is a celebration of triumph over religious persecution and of a miracle that kept a menorah lit for 8 nights.
Hello, my name is Mike Mott. I'm one of the associate pastors here at Faith Bible Chapel, get to oversee marriage and family. As we look at Hanukkah and as we celebrate this holiday, it's more about the miracles that took place around the feast of this dedication, the dedication of the temple. It's more about those miracles that took place than the actual event of the dedication, the miracle that the Jewish people, in spite of the odds that were against them, overcame the Syrian army that was vastly outnumbered, and they were stronger and they were more prowess as an army. And the miracle that the candelabra was able to burn for 8 nights when they only had 1 night worth of oil as they were trying to dedicate that temple and reclaim it for the glory of God. The Jewish people were facing a very uncertain time as they were fighting against the Syrians, against the Greek army that was raging across the land. And literally the Jewish people as a nation, as a people, were on the verge of extinction because the Greek army was forcing them to abandon all of their religious beliefs and their religious customs and forcing them to abandon their faith in God. And many of the Jewish people had capitulated and they were becoming Greek in their thinking and in their practice. And actually, many, many people that had bumped up against this Greek army that was raging across the land had become Greek and had embraced the gods of the Greeks. And then there were those Jewish people who wouldn't change. Some of them had capitulated and had turned over and had abandoned their faith in God. But there was a small band that said, we won't capitulate. We won't become Greek in our thinking. We won't embrace the gods of the Greek people. We will remain faithful and true to the one true God. And this began the revolt of the Maccabees against the Greek army. And in that revolt, we see the Jewish people vastly outnumbered and overpowered by this army that's raging across the land. And it looked like in the natural, they didn't have any chance of winning. And yet God gave them the miracle of destroying their enemy and set them free. And so at the dedication, at the Hanukkah of the temple, as they were dedicating it back to God, we see God setting his people free, miraculously defeating their enemies, and then giving them the ability to dedicate that temple again to God so that it would be in service again for him. And we see at that moment that Hanukkah, though the word in English means dedication, when you play around with those Hebrew letters just a little bit, it also means they rested on the 25th, meaning they rested on the 25th day of the Hebrew month of Kislev. This meaning is very profound for the Jewish people, that God gave them rest from their enemies. And not just rest from their enemies, but he gave them rest from the persecution that they'd been under, as Cheryl was saying, for 25 years, and gave them victory over their enemies.
They only had enough oil to burn for one day, but it lasted for 8 days. The miracle here is amazing in and of itself. God extended oil in the light in the temple, much like he used 5 loaves and 2 small fish to feed thousands. But there's something else significant here. The oil didn't burn for twice as long as expected. It didn't last 3 or even 5 days. It lasted for 8 days. If it lasted 2 or 3 days, it might be explained away by skeptics. If God could make it last for 8 days, he certainly could have made it last for 20, a month, even a year. The fire could still be burning today if he had willed it. But he made it last for 8 days. Why? In the scriptures, you see numbers are meaningful. There were 12 patriarchs, 12 sons of Israel, 12 apostles, 12 gates in Jerusalem, and over 180 more mentions of the number 12. Noah waited out 40 days and 40 nights in the ark. Jesus fasted for 40 days in the deserts of Judea. And Israel wandered 40 years before entering the promised land. You see, numbers are important and significant in scripture because God doesn't deal in the random. It wasn't the people who somehow stretched it to make it last. God did a miracle, and he chose the number 8. So again, why? 8 is the number of the covenant. Jews remember this by circumcising on the 8th day in obedience to God's command and as a sign of his covenant with them. The number 8 is strongly linked with the name of Jesus in both Greek and Hebrew. It was 8 days after Jesus' resurrection that he appeared in the room where Thomas touched his side and his faith was restored. 800 is the numerical value of the word rainbow in Hebrew. This is still another sign of God's covenant promise to Noah after the flood. These are all reminders of his covenant, and God is detailed here 8 days of light in the temple was God's way of telling him that his covenant with them still stood. 8 means he keeps his covenant. 8 means he is faithful to his word. 8 means he works all things together for the good of those who are called according to his purposes.
Good evening. My name is Corey Friedman, and I would like to share with you all how Hanukkah is a celebration. Some people refer to Hanukkah as a festival of lights, but it's also a time of rejoicing and thanksgiving. Rejoicing means to be glad and to cheer up. Thanksgiving means a sacrifice of praise and a confession of thanks. Now you need to realize, if you can understand celebration, you need to realize the fact that the Greeks have been controlling Israel for over 100 years. Think about that. For 100 years, they had not had the freedom to worship openly the God that they loved and they served. And so when that was done, the celebration that broke out must have been incredible. The Greeks' goal was to destroy their lives spiritually and force them to adopt their own pagan practices instead. The story of Hanukkah is another point in history where Satan did his best to take the initiative and snuff out God's plan of redemption for mankind. But because of the moral courage of the Maccabees, Satan failed. John 10, 9 through 11 says that the thief, Satan, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. The 8-day celebration of Hanukkah is a celebration of that life. It's a celebration of victory over the spiritual darkness that Satan would have us perish in. It is a celebration of restoration of the house of the Lord from that which is unholy. Psalms 122 says it best. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And Psalms 134 says, "Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth."
One of the most recognized symbols of Hanukkah is the dreidel, which you can see we have some dreidels hanging above our heads here, and we're going to have some pictures up here on the screens. And hopefully most of you received a dreidel and instructions of how to play the dreidel game when you came in. If you didn't, make sure you grab one on the way out. The video we saw earlier explained a little bit about the dreidel. It's an exciting thing for children as they look forward to Hanukkah as the game and the candy that goes along with it. The origins of the dreidel can be traced as far back as the Greek Empire when they were ruling Israel and under Antiochus. And as the video told us earlier in the program tonight, the purpose of the Greeks was to try and quash Judaism and their faith in God. And so when they got together to study Torah, they had to have something that was a cover so that if the soldiers came, they had something to explain why they were all meeting together. And that's kind of where the dreidel game origin came from. Now, the word dreidel is a German Yiddish word from the word drehen, which means to spin. In Israel today, a dreidel is called a sevivon, which also means to spin. Now, if you have that in front of you, pull it out and take a look at it. There's 4 Hebrew letters on that dreidel. And depending on where you are in the world, that dreidel is going to have a different letter on it. There's 4 letters. Nun, Gimel, He, and a Shin, if you live outside of Israel. It stands for Nes Gadol Haya Sham. A great miracle happened there. So if you live outside of Israel, it says a great miracle happened there. But when Israel was reestablished as a state, their dreidels say Nes Gadol Haya Po. A great miracle happened here. So if you get a dreidel in Israel, it has a pay on it instead of the Sheen, or the thing that looks like a little S. So the dreidel is something that has come over the history. It wasn't something that was happening at the time of Hanukkah, but it's become a tradition and part of the celebration of Hanukkah. As we said, mostly it's the children who look forward to the dreidel game, and the instructions we gave you tonight show you how to play that game. Hanukkah actually begins next week, so we just want to encourage you to take this dreidel, take these instructions, and next week when Hanukkah comes around on the calendar, take opportunity to play the game with your kids, with your grandkids, with your neighbor kids, whoever you have an opportunity to share it with, and use it as a time to teach about Hanukkah and teach about the God that we serve, that he is a God of miracles, and that the miracles that God did then, God will continue to do for us today.
Shalom. My name is Justin Friedman, and I'm Happy to come and talk to you tonight about the oil. The oil that burned in the menorah was an integral and central part of the story of Hanukkah. The oil was part of the offering of the first fruits, and the oil that came from the first press of the olives was taken to the Levites to be used in the temple. It was the fuel for the menorah that burned in the temple, and it was to provide light from morning, from evening until morning. When the Maccabees took back control of Jerusalem and they came into the temple and found only one thing of oil that would only last for one day, they did what they knew was right, and they lit the menorah to dispel the darkness that had been there. Through their obedience and faith, the oil lasted for 8 days. In John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The oil is also a picture for us of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are like the wicks, and when we're saturated with the Holy Spirit, we can shine brightly as Christ ignites us. Proverbs 13:9 says, "The light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out." Jesus tells us in Matthew, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." This verse says to me that we should be lights in our community, that we should be doing good deeds that glorify God and that the people around us can see that. Then the Apostle Paul encourages us in 2 Corinthians 4, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." During the celebration of Hanukkah, the oil is remembered by frying donuts called sufganiyot and latkes. We'd ask you to join us in the Eastside Cafe out these doors here after the service and partake of some of these treats. Partaking of these treats is also a reminder to us to live our lives submerged and saturated in the Holy Spirit. As we surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit, we get to taste the sweet fellowship of walking closely with our Savior.
My name is Amy Candelaria, and I have the privilege of being the director of the Young Adults Ministry here at Faith Bible Chapel. And I'm going to talk to you tonight about this menorah and the difference between the menorah and a type of menorah, a Hanukkiah. The menorah is a candelabrum that has seven branches and was used in the temple before it was destroyed. The six lights on the outside represent the number of man, while the light in the center represents Jesus. The number seven is also the number of spiritual perfection. It is said that the menorah is a symbol of the nation of Israel and a physical reminder of the commandment in Isaiah 42:6 to be a light to the Gentiles. Isaiah 42:6 says, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles." The light is produced by oil and is also a symbol of the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2, we are given the names of the seven spirits of God. They are Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of Wisdom, Spirit of Understanding, Spirit of Counsel, Spirit of Might, Spirit of Knowledge, and Spirit of Fear. The Hanukkiah is different from the traditional menorah. It is made with nine branches to commemorate the time when the Jewish revolutionaries had retaken the temple from the Syrians. During this battle, they lit the menorah. Though they only had enough oil to keep the menorah burning for one day, it miraculously lasted for 8 days, as you saw in the video. So the eight outside branches represent the 8 days, while the center candle is lit first and serves as a source of light to the other candles, which is also symbolic of the servant nature of Jesus and the fact that he is our source of light. It is called the Shemash. The Hanukkiah then represents the miracle of the oil, which is the reason that the Jewish people celebrate Hanukkah today.
So tonight we've given you the history of Hanukkah. We've given you the symbolisms. We've given you traditions and how to celebrate. And now we're going to light the menorah. Now tonight, we're going to light the menorah and we're going to rehearse. See, the Maccabees defeated their enemy, and it was a long battle, a hard battle, and they had to fight small, but God made them mighty. And so Jews celebrate the victory over their enemies. And it's a time that they get together to remember that God is mighty even when you feel small. And so tonight, we are going to light the menorah and celebrate our victories over the enemies. The biblical text is clear about victory we have over the enemies of darkness. So tonight, I light these candles and we're going to rehearse, remember, and reclaim victory over darkness. 1 John 3:8 tells us that Jesus came to defeat and destroy the works of the devil. There are some of you tonight that have seen the devil defeat and maybe even destroy your marriage. Or you know somebody who's battling in a marriage. So tonight, we're going to light the first light, remembering and claiming that because of Jesus, he came to destroy the work that the devil has come to destroy marriages, and we celebrate the victory over healed relationships. Revelations 12:11 reminds us that we have triumphed over our enemies through the blood of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It reminds us that if we claim victory in the name of Jesus by his blood, that we will find our victory. Some of you are struggling tonight physically and mentally. You feel defeated. Disease has taken over your mind or your body. Disease of addiction, disease of cancer, disease of mental health problems. And tonight we are going to light this second light, claiming that Satan is defeated in our lives because of the blood shed of Jesus. His blood has defeated diseases both mentally and physically, and we will celebrate over the victory of disease tonight. Romans 8:37 tells us we are more than conquerors. There are people tonight that feel as though you're barely hanging on. You look and you think, I can't even put one step in front of the other. Well, tonight, we're going to light this third light, remembering that we are not just here to survive, but we are here to conquer, because we are victorious in the name of Jesus. John 14:13 through 14 says that we ask anything in the name of Jesus, the ultimate name, the name that reigns supreme, the Lord of Lords, the name that brings healing and deliverance. If we ask anything in the name of Jesus, it will happen. Some of you tonight are dealing with the darkness of a prodigal child, a prodigal friend, a prodigal family member, and it looms over you. But tonight, we are going to light this fourth light, knowing we have authority over our enemies by the name that reigns supreme, the name of Jesus Christ. And the enemy that is holding the prodigals captive must release in the name of Jesus. And we claim victory over the lives of prodigals tonight. Isaiah 61:1 through 3 beautifully tells us that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously over the works of darkness. As a believer, you are equipped to defeat the enemy with the empowerment of the Spirit. There are some of you tonight that are dealing with some serious sexual sin, whether it be pornography, whether it be an affair, whatever it may be. But we are here tonight and we are lighting the fifth light, claiming that through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you can defeat the enemy of sexual sin. And we celebrate over the defeat of that sin in the name of Jesus, because you can be free. Hebrews 4:12 explains for us that the word of God is powerful and alive. It is strong enough to penetrate the heart of every man. It is stronger than a two-edged sword that can defeat the enemy of your mind. So many of us deal with the lies of the enemy in our minds, the shame, the guilt of your past that torments you. So tonight, we are lighting this sixth light, claiming that through the powerful word of God, we can defeat the enemy of our mind, and we celebrate the victory of peace over your mind and your spirit tonight. Isaiah 54:17 says to us that no weapon formed, none, not one, formed against us can kill us. But maybe some of you tonight have allowed the weapons to wound you, and you feel like, I can't keep going. I can't take another shot. It's going to kill me. Well, tonight, we're going to light the seventh light, claiming that the weapons formed against us will not prosper. They will be destroyed in the name of Jesus, and you will survive the fight. First John 1:5-7. This scripture says, and beautifully says, that Jesus is the light of the world who dispels the darkness. If you have salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ and the confession of faith, you are full of light. And where there is light, there cannot be darkness. But I believe that there are people who allow their light to go dim, so it gets a little dark. And Jesus isn't shining so bright. But it tells us that the light of the world will dispel the darkness. So tonight we light this last light, knowing that we need our light to shine forward so that the darkness will be dispelled and that we can rest in the victory over our enemy who came to kill. But Jesus came to give us life and to give it to the ultimate fullest. And we celebrate our victories in the name of Jesus tonight.
Amen. Amen. I know that most of us, I would even say the majority of us, are very aware of the battle that surrounds us. A battle not unlike what the Maccabees fought against the Greek invaders that were swarming across the world at that time. And I would say probably more now than ever, maybe the last 3 to 5 years, more than ever. Especially us as the body of Christ, followers of Jesus. We're very aware of that battle. It has intensified and it's spilled into our lives in a way that we've never experienced before. And we're in a battle that, like the Maccabees were fighting, the enemy is seeking for ways to steal and to kill and to destroy our lives. To steal and kill and destroy our marriages and our families and cause us to abandon our faith in God and to lose hope in our faith in God and to walk away from Him. A battle that increasingly is pressuring us to embrace the gods of this world and to let go of our faith in God and to take on the latest and the greatest new deity that the world has to offer us. And I believe that that's why Paul warned us in Colossians that we wouldn't become weary in well-doing, because he knew that the battle was going to be intense, and he knew that the battle was going to be strong against us as we followed after God and as we put our faith in him. And that's why I believe that Hanukkah is a wonderful reminder that God has come to set us free, and not just to set us free, but he desires to give us rest from our enemies. For the first time, the Maccabees found rest from their enemies, a deliverance not just of their temple, but deliverance from the persecution of their enemies and the hard-fought battle that was intense that invaded their lives. I believe that God wants us to see in this picture of Hanukkah that he intends for each one of us, that he's designed for each one of us, a rest from our enemies. And not just rest from the battle, but rest with victory over our enemy. Rest with victory and restoration of those areas where God wants to bring life, where the enemy has brought death. This is what God is looking for, and this is that great picture of Hanukkah that he wants to give to us. I believe that we've come through this week, And we've walked in here tonight, and many have experienced that battle against your spirit, against your soul, against your family, against family members. And you've felt it in a very real way as you've walked in here tonight, and God is here, and he wants to meet us tonight and give us rest from our enemies. He wants to give us victory with rest. Victory over our enemies, and where the enemies come to steal and where he's come to kill and to destroy, God wants to give us rest and victory. So we want to invite you tonight, those of you that are facing the battle, maybe it's in a physical way in your body, maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's in a relationship with your children, maybe you've watched the enemy come to steal and kill your children. God wants to heal that tonight. He wants to bring life. We want to invite you to come tonight, and we want to pray with each one of you. We want to pray for all of our family. Our team is coming down, and so would you come down as Rod leads us in, or Mike leads us in some music, and we want to just pray with you. And then as we are praying with the people down here in front, we would invite the rest of you to stand with us and be strong with these families and pray for these families, pray for these people. And then we can celebrate God's freedom, celebrate God's deliverance and victory over our enemies as we take part in the cafe and we have our donuts, our sufgani oat, and the latkes, the potato cakes. Would you stand with us now?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.